insight. Thank you that you gift him, that you have called him to touch so many different people. Thank you that he loves you intensely, Lord, and he's dedicated his life to being with you and speaking your heart and your word. Father, we just pray that today that you would speak through him deeply to us, that we would hear your heart and know you this day. Father, help us be solidified in obedience and power and glory as we go forward from this day, Father, as you speak through Byron. So thank you for him, and we just pray your power on him now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Good morning, huh? We're up and running here. Yep. Good. We have an amazing God. I want to let you know, amazing God, that he would download the message you're about to hear and have me go through the things that I went through in the last few weeks with the dreams and everything else. That, you know, we live in a world that is looking for people to shine for Jesus. Looking for a people that will shine for Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit downloaded this message, it's really about prayer, and then what should be happening while we're praying. And what should be our heart after we prayed. That's what he shared with me. And then he kind of downloaded different things to identify these things. You know, a guess I'm getting older. But when we were way over in the other building, I did a series that lasted for weeks and weeks and weeks just on prayer. And I don't know if some of you remember, it was years ago. And just the different kinds of prayer, and just in kind of setting the stage for this message, let's take a little look at the different kinds of prayer that we are asked to pray. Now, I didn't put this on, you know, I looked this thing on the website, but you know, one that's not on the list is we can pray in the Spirit. And you know what, it's for the last couple years, I probably prayed more in the Spirit than I had in my whole Christian experience with Jesus. And it comes really just, it happens. And I'm just praying in the Spirit. And then we've had actually witness here praying in tongues with interpretations. And God wants to bless his church. You know, a lot of people have issues with praying in tongues, but I say I love it. Because now I can't get in the way of the prayers. And it's just a pure connection with the throne of God. And it's amazing how it edifies yourself. It edifies yourself. Then there's conversation prayer. Conversation prayer. We as a people of God ought to be, you know what it says, praying without ceasing? That's like conversational prayer. It's talking to your Father all the day long, all the night long, whenever it is. It's just walking with him and talking with him. No really agenda, just that you want to spend time with Jesus in prayer, conversational prayer. That's like the more we enter into that, the greater that will just increase our confidence in all who he is for us. Conversational prayer. Then there's supplication of prayers. And that's going before the throne of God, revealing our needs. Y'all have needs? Take them to the throne. And we're going to learn how to do that this morning. If you have needs, and you're going to specify that need, and we all have needs, and we're going to learn how to take that to the throne. God is very, extremely interested in the needs in your life. And he's not looking for me, oh, I'm fine, I have no needs. No, you got them. Let him know about them. Let him know about them. Then there's intercession prayers. Intercession prayers. That's when we find out things about each other. And sometimes some of us are called to go before the throne of God and intercede for those people. I'm interceding for Ricardo, Ellie, their daughter, and their son as they go see that movie. I've been interceding on and off and saying, Father, open up their eyes completely to all who Jesus is. And it's intercession, interceding for people. There are people we may know that really are having to struggle just praying for themselves. That's why God calls the church and others to pray on their behalf, to intercede for them. Then there's, spiritual warfare. You know what? Let's face it, we're in a battle. But you know what's good? The battle is the Lord's. You know, and we can go and do warfare in the Spirit. We can go to the battleground and bring the Lord Jesus into that battleground, in that place. So we're called as a church to do spiritual warfare. We're in a fight. But you know what? The scripture says we're in a good fight, because we wound up victorious in that fight. Prayer of agreement. That's sort of two or three, or a group of believers. You know, if there's something that we desire as a church, as a family, we come into agreement, and we have prayer of agreement, and we say, we're all united in one thing, going before the throne of God, and bringing that to His throne corporately. That's a prayer of agreement. And I'm glad it only takes two, or three, or more. But you know, you can get a friend and get together and agree. You could prayer of agreement. I'm glad it's agreement because there's more than one. It's not just you. It's you coming together with another person and saying, I just need you on my side as I'm bringing this before the throne of God. Prayer of agreement. And then watch and pray. That's all about the watchman on the wall. You know, I think Catherine has some of that too, and she saw oil on the walls of the church, and it's seeing things, detecting things, and hearing things in the spirit world, and bringing them before the throne of grace. This morning, as we were in the other room praying, I felt, wouldn't it be cool if God just did that supernaturally? I just felt oil coming down from the ceiling and falling on us. Supernatural, just oil coming down from the ceiling, falling on us. That'd be cool if that happened. That'd be cool. God, you do that if you want to. Then there's prayer of thanksgiving. Prayer of thanksgiving. That's so key to all the prayer. Let your requests be known unto God, the Father, with thanksgiving. That's part of, you know, when we come up with whatever these, all these others and issues we're going through in life, you know, then it's a, The prayer of thanksgiving, you know what accelerates that? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you and me His blessings. You know, sometimes we can focus on what we're going through and not see the hand of God that's already worked in our life. That's sometimes He calls people to look back, count where I was in your past. And know that I know never change. And I'm here for you now. And I will never leave you or forsake you. I thought that would be a good way to start. Just looking at those types of prayers that we're all called. And some of them require faith, undoubting faith. Some of them require that your will be done. And make sure you know the difference. Don't shut down the things that are a yes and amen. Don't really require your will, because we already know it. So then you go, now, approaching God in prayer. Approaching God in prayer. In Matthew 6, 5-7, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their full reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. Then the Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Now, I've learned that some really quick prayers change things. And you don't have to be sitting in this long thing to, like we're trying to get his attention when you already have his attention. And he's saying, go in that closet, go in that private place, and go to your father. And what's amazing, he is listening continually to you. It's not like, oh, I was listening to him. Say that again. Say that again. I was kind of distracted. God's never distracted. His ears are attentive to the prayers of his children, his people. Continually uninterrupted. He cannot be uninterrupted. Because you and me belong to him. And his ears are attentive, very attentive to what you're bringing before his throne. Then in Mark 11, I love this story. The next day, they were leaving Bethany. Jesus was hungry, seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf. He went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not in the season for figs. He said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. Heard him say, I want you to remember what I just said. Heard him say it. There he is. You might say the poor tree, it wasn't seasoned for grapes, for figs. But he said he looked at that and knew there was no fruit there. And he said, "May no one ever eat of you." And then he went and did some ministry in the temple. He messed up religious thinking. And after he did that, they were headed back the same way. And in the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Gone. That means the root was even destroyed, and it was gone. And the disciples noticed that, and God, Jesus, gave a formula for entering into his presence that we're going to see evidence of that throughout the scriptures. He says to his disciples, "Have faith in God." Or some other reading, "Have the God kind of faith." You know, God is calling us to call out what we need. So he says, "Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it's yours." What is Jesus telling us? What he's telling us, when you and I go before the God Almighty that can do everything, nothing is impossible for him. And then when we leave that place of prayer, God is looking at what we're saying. And what we're saying to him declares our level of believing. You know what? Nancy and I, through our marriage, have given us, each other, the right to affirm that we are affirming what we pray about with what we're saying. And she can call me out on it. I can call her out on it. We go to that throne and pass this on to the Lord, and all of a sudden, boom, we're talking something totally different. And God's listening to what we're saying after we pray. He's listening to what we're saying after we pray. Our saying has to be connected with our praying. And we have to be saying the same things we're praying. You know, I've shared this over and over again, and because it's the most dramatic illustration that I went through life. But a man, Chuck, came to my door, and you've heard this, some of you have heard this. He came to my door and said, at 10 o'clock at night, he's lucky he didn't catch me in my pajamas, because I'm usually, boom, gone way before 10, so at least getting ready. So came in, he said, man, Byron, you know, my wife needs to come to know Jesus. I've been trying everything. I've been trying everything to lead her to the Lord. And man, she needs... I came to your house tonight to ask you to pray that my wife would give her life to Jesus so we can be together in faith. And I said, you know what, Chuck? That's amazing. That's God's will right now. He's not willing that any should perish. You know, that. Come on in, brother. Man, we'll pray. So I prayed a prayer that the Holy Spirit, you have loved ones that don't know Jesus. I would encourage you to seek the Holy Spirit after them. He's the one that actually reveals Jesus. People meet them, tell them, but the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. All right? So we prayed that prayer. He went to go home. He probably walked from here to those windows, turned around and looked at me and said, you know what? She's never going to come to know Jesus. This is an illustration of what Jesus was saying here. And because I've been tuned to this, I said, hey, come on, Chuck, come back in the house. What? Come on back in the house. And I asked him, did you hear what you said? What did I say? I said, I had to remind you. You said your wife, you came here at 10 o'clock at night, asked me to pray that she would come to know Jesus, and you just said she'll never come to know Jesus. There's a disconnect here. So I'm saying it, be very careful to say, now this is when you're directed by the Holy Spirit. This is not being bold by myself, but really what the Holy Spirit was telling me to say to him came out of my mouth. I said, all right, let's step it up, brother. He said, what's that? I mean, he was kind of startled. I said, let's step it up. We prayed just a few minutes ago that your wife would become a Christian, give her life to Jesus. Why don't we ask Father, Holy Spirit, to reveal Jesus to her in the next 24 hours? Would you agree with me? He did. He agreed. He said, okay. Then I said, now go home and stop speaking differently against what we just prayed. And watch your mouth, Chuck. And he left and went home. 22 or 23 hours later, he knocked on my door. Opened the door, he had a big smile on his face. He said, you won't believe it. Oh, yes, I will. My wife, an hour ago, gave her life to Jesus Christ. You see, it's really praiseworthy, but I want to let you know, it's not easy to line up your talking with your praying. You know, I wish I could say that's an easy thing to do. I still fail at it. And I'm reminded that I have to line up my speaking with my praying so my Heavenly Father will see and look at a person that's believing Him for the impossible. You know? So then And then he added one thing to this, and I'm going to say, and he added one in verse 25. He said, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, for your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." And it's very, very, very important that we're not holding anything against anyone on the planet Earth. It's very important that we, and that doesn't come easy, but as you walk in His presence and learn intimacy with Him, it becomes easier and easier as you take that person that you really are really angry with and ask God to heal your heart, that you might have a right attitude towards that person. And that really opens up all kinds of things to you. Because that's what God called us to be, a people reaching out to some very, sometimes very unlovely people. You know, so now that's what Jesus said about saying what you're believing or saying what you're praying. So there must be more evidence than just as one, because this is only mentioned in the book of Mark. There must be more evidence about this in Scripture about lining up our saying with our praying. There must be. So I started digging through Scriptures, and in Numbers 13:30, and this verse is the backdrop of the verse is the 12 spies went into the land to find out what the issues there, that the land they were entering with all these different tribes and fortified cities and everything else. And 10 of the spies came back and said, "You know what? We're never going to do it." You know, they were called to go in that land to be victorious, not to come back with a report that we can't do it. But there was two men, Caleb and Jacob, and Caleb was the one that spoke out. Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb was the one that spoke out. And here they were hearing all this information, and he stood up to the whole group, and he said, "And Caleb silenced the people before Moses." And sometimes it is. Sometimes you have to say, like when Chuck came back in the house, I had to silence him from his prayers. And that's exactly what Caleb was. He sighed, "Everybody be quiet now and hear what I'm about to say." And he said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." And that marked Joshua and Caleb's life. You can't find any place where they caved in from that confession. "We can go in and we can take that land. We can take that land." Now, it's really interesting as you go further into the next chapter of Numbers that in this wilderness, this is what Moses was saying through God, in this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who are counted in the census, and who has grumbled against me. Very interesting. Sammy, the singles that you're meeting with is an amazing portion of this society. And what he was saying, he was going to preserve all those years people in the nation of Israel, 20 years old and younger. What about that younger generation? You know, the older ones are grumbling, disbelief, in the face of seeing God delivered one thing after the next, the 20-year-old and younger were witnessing the power in the hand of God. And they had no baggage. And they were listening and they were seeing and they are observing and they heard Caleb and Joshua declare they can take the land. And they had this energy said to yes and amen to this. You know, I don't care what the older people are saying, I am grabbing that mantle and I'm going with it. And God preserved the 20-year-old and younger. And I'll tell you, in this nation, God's Holy Spirit has been moving, and some young people are seeing and witnessing this, and they're going to be ignited in these last days to bring the gospel to the nations. And we already have some of those in different parts of the world that we're supporting. At this time, I want to let you know, we're supporting two new missionaries. Two new ones. It's Joe Ritchie. We're going to set him loose with finances for his ministry with his new bride. And we're going to be supporting him in the future. And then there's a young man, Corey Anderson, that was part of our Wednesday night group when it first started, and he was our worship leader, and he amazing worship leader, and he's the other one, and he is headed for Haiti, and he's in Sarah. Yeah, both Corey and Sarah, but yeah, right. Both are part of the early ons of this ministry in our home. And we're going to be supporting them as they're in training to go to Haiti, which his father was a missionary to Haiti years and years ago.
And his grandfather.
Uh-huh. And so those two are added to our list of missionaries. But you know what? God is working in the younger generation. And that has no baggage, no. And some of them had messed up lives and stuff like that, but God is calling them out and seeing all that God can do. And he's going to ignite them, I believe, in these last days to go out throughout the world. I didn't mean to say it, but that vision I had of downtown and Grant Park being filled with people was really basically young people with their hands up in the air. And at the end of the vision, they all were dispersed. And God is doing a wonderful thing today that we don't hear about in the news media. We don't hear about it in the news media, but things are happening, and the word is getting out. And Jesus said, "When everybody hears, rapture time, brothers." You know. So anyhow, sideline. I didn't mean to go there, but Joshua and Caleb, they never even faltered to go back from what they said, we can take the land. And you know about Joshua, later got an instruction to take down Jericho, their first obstacle, right? So then, another example. This is a little story behind this one. This is about a Shunammite woman and Elisha the prophet. And she went to this woman and went to her house, and she prepared a place for him and everything else. And he said to her, "You know what? What's your heart? Well, I've been barren. I would love a child." He said, "Well, you're going to have a child." And she did have a child. And God blessed her. And then, as this child was growing up, Elisha was out doing Elisha stuff. He was a prophet of God. And he was doing stuff, doing his thing and doing what prophets do. And all of a sudden, her son became very sick. Her son became very sick. And she was just concerned about the health of her son. Her son then died. In human reasoning, all hope was gone. She told her husband, get me the animal, get it saddled up, I'm going to find a prophet. Wait, you're just leave him in bed where he is. I'm going to find a prophet. Went off on her journey. And she found him. But when a woman wants something, she'll find it. Right? She found him. And she ran to meet, and Elijah saw her and ran to meet her and asked her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Those three things. You know what? Isn't that three things that can become very important in our life? Isn't that something that can be very important in our life? And that's what the prophet asked her. Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your boy all right? Something she said that goes along with Jesus says, when she saddled up, she knew that God was going to work in her behalf. It doesn't say she prayed, but she probably prayed. She said, I'm going to go find Elisha. When he asked that question, her confession was, everything is all right. Imagine that. Imagine that your son had passed away, and out of her mouth was spoken, everything's okay. Everything's okay. Well, what happened was some instruction was given, and that young boy came back to life again. If you go see Unbroken, you'll see something very amazing in that movie, in this true story about a mother who would not listen to negative, would not listen, what?
Breakthrough.
Would not listen or be changed by all the negative words she heard. And her son came back to life again. Pray and say. Pray and say. Now there's one other illustration that I dug up from Scripture. It's found in 1 Kings 18. And he says, go and look towards the sea, he told his servant. And he went out and looked. And there's nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go tell Ahab, hitch up his chariot and go down before the rain stops. What is that saying to you and me? What is that saying to you and me about believing and saying? Believing and saying. What is that telling you and me? He told his servant, seven times, go back. Seven times, go back. The perfect number, seven. Go back and look. And he went back seven times. And the seventh time he came back, seven times there was nothing there. The seventh time there was a cloud like a hand over the sea. And he said, get ready, the rain is coming. What does that say? What does that say to you and me? What does that say? What is that saying to me? You know, when you and I battle negative and battle everything else, you know what? How God is saying here to you and me, stay with the program. Even if you don't see anything for weeks, for years, or whatever that time slot is, keep going, give back, keep believing, keep trusting, keep following Him, keep declaring His word, keep confessing what He said, keep on, keep on. And eventually, what I have spoke forth from the word of God will happen. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. And do not be intimidated. We stepped on that snake. Do not be intimidated by things not happening. And it's very interesting. It's seven times. You know, and when he talked about forgiving, he said seven times 70 forgive. You know, keep on loving. Keep on moving. Keep on keeping on. He's saying here, and this is very powerful. And he said, when he saw the glimpse of what was going to happen, he said, "Go to Ahab, and tell him to pack up his stuff and get out before he gets stuck in the mud, because it's going to rain, man. It's got to rain." So, in conclusion, yep, there's all types of prayers that we can pray, and God wants us to be in constant communication with Him. When we get to that place of praying, leave that prayer closet or that prayer of agreement with another person, or that warfare prayer, or that need prayer, or whatever that prayer is that we're going before, the Father that can do anything. Nothing is impossible for Him. When we go to that prayer place, when we leave that prayer place, when we go out into life, into the job, into home, into wherever we're going, where all that negative can be, keep on watching our tongue and saying, "You, this may be like it is, but that's not what I believe. This may look impossible, but I have the God of the impossible. This looks like it never can happen, but in Jesus' name it can happen. This person may look like they're never going to come to Jesus. They're going to come to Jesus as long as you're interceding for them. They're going to come to know Jesus." In conclusion, like what happened here with the rain, never allow yourself to give up. Never. That's a never. You know? And Jesus said, in this, it was on my verse this morning, that pops up. In this world, you will have trouble. We're not excluded from trouble. It's going to happen. But be of good cheer. Ha ha. Thank you, Jesus. Be of good cheer, for I, Him, the Jesus we love, I have overcome the world. And I have made you victorious. And if it takes seven times, and that's really just like a perfect number, keep on keeping on. God has something amazing for your future. Even though it looks very dark. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you taught us how to pray. You taught us how to demonstrate that we believe through the words of our mouth. And Father God, that you're standing with us, though things may look impossible. Nothing is impossible for the one that loves us. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you've called us into this new life with Jesus, that we have anytime access to the throne of God. We are not restricted. Now, You know, to put that, Father, I just thank you, Lord. You know, it'd be like crazy if we can just go into White House and talk to the president anytime we want. But we have a God that's so greater than our president. And he says, you have access to me anytime. My ears are attentive to my children. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you're our rescuer. You're our helper. You're the one that meets all our needs according to your riches and glory. You're the one that heals our bodies. You're the one that heals relationships. You're the one that brings those we've been praying for years. And I get some of these prayer requests about praying for family members for years. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that as those prayers go up, you have every intention to have your Holy Spirit reveal Jesus to those who are lost. Because that's your heart, Father. I thank you, God, that any financial need that we have are met in you, Father God. That can't discourage us or anything else, or whatever, even whatever we're going through, God, you're our provider, and you're an amazing provider. And Father God, I thank you, Lord, that in this place, in this family of God, Father God, your Holy Spirit oil is pouring down on us. And Father God, have us receiving hearts, Father God, for all that you have for us in Jesus' name, Lord. So Father God, as we end this service, it's not like an ending of a service, it's a beginning of an opportunity to trust him in everything we do. We walk out here and say, God, you're my God. You will never fail me. You will never forsake me. You will never leave me. I have you, and I have you, I have everything. And there's nothing need to be added to that. So, Father God, enter in this place. And I think you're anxious back here, woo, to lead us into worship, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for finding Dusty. Father God, may this be a time of just anointing and knowing your presence and knowing how amazing you are as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.